Now the fun begins.
Bridget.
Stop! You violated the law.
Welcome back to another episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So, of course, naturally, I'm going to tell you to subscribe to us wherever you get a podcast at, rate, review us, all that jazz. Wherever you listen to podcasts at, and we're not on that platform, let me know. Get us on there. And follow us on Twitter at GPGC Podcast. Stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games alike, and of course our dope giveaways. I'm your host as always, Travis White, aka Travlist, on most internet platforms. Joining me as always, my partner in crime, my co-pilot, Mike P-Pack. Mike, my friend, what is good? What is going on? And how is your life in video games? But in general, too, but life in video games, nerd shit, for the past week. How's it been going, man?
Yeah, for me, a little bit more of the same. Been playing a good bit of Valorant. Just have a couple of buddies that, you know, I used to play some Call of Duty and Halo with. So it's been nice to play some Valorant with them. And they also played Counter-Strike with me, you know, back when I was still playing a lot of Counter-Strike. So it's been a lot of fun.
The bug is still bit on you.
A little bit, yeah.
To the point where you're still willing to go and play.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, you know, before I talk more about that bullshit, I do want to give a shout out to, the Diablo 2 Resurrected, the team that works on the game there. You know, I'm pretty excited because they actually came out with some new end game content that was, you know, I wasn't expecting it. Let's just put it that way. And by what I mean by that is this last ladder season, there was a big, there's a pretty big shitstorm about the way that a certain group of people got to level 99. I sent Travis and Adam some video of it. But basically what was happening was once you get to a high enough level in Diablo 2, essentially, you know, you don't get any more experience except from certain enemies that are a certain level, I guess you could say. And basically, once you get to like level 95 and above, you basically want to kill Diablo and Bale and Nilithak as many times as humanly possible, because that's the only enemies that give you experience. Nothing else in the game gives you any experience, which was kind of utilized in an interesting way by a group of streamers who are Diablo 2 content creators. But basically what they did is they made games where they filled the Chaos Sanctuary up with 8 players and they got like 4 or 5 games going at a time. And what would happen was is they'd go through, clear Chaos Sanctuary, summon Diablo, but when Diablo summoned, there'd only be about 3 people in the game. And they would invite a certain streamer in, the person they were boosting to level 99, and he would come in and kill Diablo and get experience for it. So he was able to, like, they were able to just power game this because they'd have 5 games waiting in a row. So he would just accept invites. And it was like, we were doing full Chaos Sanctuary, because I even got involved a little bit. I helped them out a little bit. And we were doing Chaos Sanctuary hell runs with 8 players in like 2 minutes flat. So we just were turning over Diablos like crazy. And a lot of people complained about that process, and rightfully so. Definitely not in the spirit of the game. So today on the PTR, the public test realm for Diablo 2 Resurrected, they released a new endgame content. They just released new endgame content where they're calling zones terrorized. And basically every hour, the zone switches to a different zone in hell. And now all of the enemies in that zone are level 96. So now you get a ton of experience and you get chances at even better drops. And this is a pretty big change to the game, because I think it's going to change the way that people grind to get to level 99 significantly. And I just think, like, I'm super excited for it, because it's going to be a way for you to find new gear or better gear a lot easier than just killing the same minions over and over again. Because all of these level 96 enemies are like the highest levels, the highest level enemies that you can find in the game. Mm-hmm. So their drops are going to be some of the best in the game because they can drop literally anything. Things that you used to have to kill Mephisto over and over or Nilithak or Bale for, mm-hmm. you can find from these mobs in these level 96 areas. Yeah. And the fact that it rotates every hour is going to be really interesting. Yeah. I'm super excited for it to actually go live. Mm-hmm. I've given it a little bit of a test in
It seems like just at face value, not to interrupt you, but it seems at face value like that's going to break up the monotony of the game. Like, because there has to be a point, like, not that, like, trust me, there's games we both have that we could just keep playing forever, especially to something like Diablo that is based around, like, cool, yeah, you go through, you play the game, but you're really grinding for endgame content and drops and things like that in being a dungeon crawler looter, like, for how long now? But at the same time, too, like, as somebody who plays looter shooters with Destiny and whatnot, there are some there's shit that can get repetitive where it's just like, okay, I want something fresh to add to this. And it seems like it is making that in a new and interesting way to play this game, especially a game that is realistically, you know, 20 plus years old at this point.
Right. And the thing that's really exciting to me is the fact that, and there are some people that are not excited about it, but the thing that, like, again, like, rather than me having to sit there and kill Mephisto 300 times or four more, maybe 1,000 times in a latter season to get geared up, like, now I can do this with my time instead, which is really awesome. And by the way, like, you can get the zone can be the Durance of Hate, which would include Mephisto. So, like, you know, you can clear all the enemies on your way to killing Mephisto now instead of just teleporting to him. So I'm excited. It's going to change the way that people play the game quite a bit towards the end game. And I think that it's something that's been desperately needed because, again, it's one of those games that's incredible. I mean, it stood the test of time. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited that this team, you know, that's been developing this game has finally started to kind of, instead of just sharpening and fixing and kind of enhancing some of the experiences, changing some of the balances, I'm excited that they're finally dipping their toe into some new, like, new content for the game and being a little creative with it. I think it's going to be really interesting. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And that's what, it's good to see wins like that, I think, in terms of, at least, I guess I would view that as a win in terms of just for the sole fact that, one, Diablo 2 Resurrected is getting new content in any way, shape, or form, period. Like, it's getting updated, it's not being left out to dry like we've seen multiple Blizzard projects go from being, especially on their remake slash remaster end, like with Warcraft 3 and such. Like, it's nice to see something like this find a community, no matter how small it is, comparative to maybe a Diablo 3 or when Diablo 4 comes out, or, you know, whatever Blizzard property, or even dungeon crawler, looter shooter, whatever you want to call live service games out there. Like, it's great to see that this is still up and running, because we talk about it so often that there's so many games that come out, especially ones that are based in live service, based in, hey, this is, we always talk about, this is, if you're going to play, a lot of AAA developers or publishers, I should say, more or less, not on the development end, but more so publishers want games based around, hey, we're marketing to the most common gamer out there, which is, hey, I buy Madden and Call of Duty and maybe one other game a year, if that, like, that's what I'm playing for this year. And they want whatever game that they're making or their developers are working on, their teams, they want that to be that game. So more games are becoming live service and getting these elements of just, hey, this is going to be a game that hangs around in your repertoire more. And it's just nice to see games like that find an audience, like games that really, I think, so many people wanted for so long, or at least a way to play Diablo 2 in a way on modern platform, modern hardware, that you didn't have to go through hoops to make it work, or you didn't have to, you know, if, like, especially, like, I think of Warcraft 3 and the fact that there were so many issues with, like, PowerPC working on some hardware and things like that, just to get it to work on just standard, like, Windows 10 hardware and stuff. And it's just like, it's nice to see that there are more ways to play these games. And you look at games like, I don't know, Fallout 76, which surprisingly is, like, had a community now, shockingly. But, like, I pull up Fallout 76 right now, and shockingly, there's almost 7,000 people playing that game right now. But you think about it being a tentpole Bethesda game right now that is still being supported, still being updated. Like, that was a game that was planned to be in Destiny numbers, you know, probably double or triple of that size. And, you know, they don't see it. And it's great to see whenever, no matter the size, there is a, you know, they are finding some kind of community with it. But at the same time, too, you look at ones like that, like Diablo 2 Resurrected, that were clearly built around nostalgia, built around, hey, we want you to obviously, one, we want Diablo to get a win because it's clearly a franchise that, not it hasn't been completely down or anything like that by any means, but Blizzard in general has very much, in their own, like, to their own fault, by all means, fucking done some shitty things and not been in the best limelight. It's good to see the development team, the 99% who weren't involved with that, getting a win. Especially somebody like, you know, Vicarious Visions, who, for all intents and purposes, got shafted, if we're being real, for the most part, on all of this. So it's nice to see them get on a project and really get this win with it. It's just really nice overall to see it. But I'm really hoping that the more I think about it, and we're going to actually talk about it really when we get into the main crux of the show with kind of an update more so on what's going on with Activision Blizzard and Microsoft and the, you know, deal that's kind of floating out there right now. But it makes me wonder just kind of where Diablo is at right now and where it's going. And I even think of, and I'm going to throw this to you, Mike, I was going to wait till during the show, but I'm curious. I've been thinking about this more and more recently, just with obviously the deal coming up and whatnot, but I think we're closer than ever to having the ability to, granted, you could add games technically to your Steam library that are non-Steam games and, you know, just launch them through there so it keeps it all in one condensed launcher. I get that. We might enter a world where you're able to just play World of Warcraft on Steam.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get to a point where Battle.net just main... It'll still obviously be a thing, like the Battle.net launcher and things like that. That's never going to go anywhere. But much to the... It'll be... I think there is a legitimate chance we see the ability to... And legitimate doesn't have mean it has to be at least 50-50 or something like that. It could be, you know... I think 30% is a very legitimate, you know, metric to throw out there when you think about, like... If there's a 30% chance that I get hit by a bus walking outside tomorrow, like, I take that as, that's a pretty legitimate chance I get hit by a bus at some point tomorrow. Like, I think, like, around there, like, it'll still be a thing, but I think it'll still be more like, almost like Origin with EA, and even, like, for a while, like, Bethesda with their launcher, but even so much more, like, the more I see... Not only Valve want to get all of the, obviously bring everything they can onto their platforms, good, bad, or indifferent to some degree with some of the shit they put on there. But point being, they want to get most of their, they want to get as many, you know, of these tentpole AAA partners on there that they can. And more so, Microsoft has been very, very like vocal on the stance of, especially on PC, like, and granted, just like they can for the most part with, you know, how they are with, we don't care where you play your games as long as you're playing our games. They've been very that way with PC in terms of, we don't fucking care what storefront you buy it on. You buy it on the Microsoft store, you can buy it on the Xbox app, you can buy it on Steam, you can buy it on wherever. We don't fucking care. We want you to play games. And specifically, they've been very vocal about getting their games on the Steam. That I wouldn't be shocked that, I mean, do you think there is a legitimate chance that we play Diablo 4 on Steam? Like, we're just all hopping on the Steam to play Diablo 4 or, you know, Overwatch 2 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it definitely would make a lot of sense for me. I don't know if I'll be playing Diablo 4 at all to begin with, but...
But you know what I mean. It's just in generalization, yeah, I mean, like, we being gamers, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a fair question to raise. And better yet, I think it's a fair thing to really consider, because I do believe that at some point in time that, you know, that could be a reality where Blizzard games are on Steam and on their own launcher. But like, for me, I would prefer them to be just on Steam. That way I don't have to juggle these different launchers, but I mean...
Dude, just looking at my taskbar right now, like, that I what I have pinned to my taskbar on my rig, I have Steam, Battle.net Launcher, the Xbox app, Epic Games Launcher, Ubisoft, whatever it is, Uplay, or Kinect, I'm sorry, Kinect, Ubisoft Kinect, the NVIDIA Launcher, what else do I have on here? There was more. Origin is on here, though I never open it up, really, unless I'm playing Apex through Steam, but the fact that I have all those, not to mention... Two on the end of, like, with us, you playing Valorant, me jumping back into Valorant, I have, you know, Riot's proprietary launcher for that. Like, it's just, I get you want to try to, like, condense as much stuff. Not to, oh, here's another one, the fucking Rockstar Games launcher. Like,
there you go.
For the fucking, for me to play fucking Red Dead, which I probably should uninstall because I need to step away from that for a little bit. But, like, and it's like a fucking 100 gigabyte download. But point being that, the fact that it would just make things so much simpler to just, like, I get why from a publishing end they want to do that, because on the off chance there is, you know, the ability to just, oh, it, you know, I can get it on Steam or whatever, but if I buy it on Origin, you know, I get a bigger discount, and really at the end of the day, they keep more money in-house because then they don't have to pay out Steam. I get it. It makes sense. 100%. But I'm not going to lie, I'm being selfish and saying it is annoying to make sure every single launcher is up to date and every launcher is installed, which means that sometimes I would need to if I don't have a certain launcher installed, but I somehow have the game installed, I need to verify all the files on that, basically re-downloading it on top of that. Like, it's just frustrating. first world problems. Yeah, first world problems. Jesus.
I remember, like, whenever Steam first came out, like, back when I used to still play Counter-Strike, like, basically how you would play Counter-Strike is you would launch it from start menu, you'd go into Counter-Strike, and then there was a server browser, like, in the game, and that's how you would connect to servers.
Yeah.
And then when Steam first came out, I remember it being, like, a big deal to, like, install Steam and blah, 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 and people didn't want to do it, and, yeah, so now we're here, like, basically begging people... Or begging studios to include their games in the Steam launcher or Steam service, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, I always thought, and I remember I wrote an article about this for one of the sites I was freelancing for a few years ago, but when the Epic Games Store first launched, I always kind of thought, my thesis was on this, if anybody has the ability to rival Steam and at least rival that kind of movement that Steam has as a platform... It's Epic just because of Fortnite. At that time, everybody's playing Fortnite. The only place you could play Fortnite on PC is through the Epic Games Launcher. And guess what's on there? The Epic Games Store. And just like Steam, you know, hey, you want to play Half-Life 2. When Half-Life 2 came out, the only fucking way that you could play Half-Life 2 is if you had Steam installed. Period. That's it. You had to have Steam installed to be able to play Half-Life 2. So, same way. You want to play Fortnite? Cool. You have to have the Epic Games Store... Or the Epic Games Launcher, which is basically the Epic Games Store installed onto your PC. So, you know what I mean? It's almost like guerrilla marketing, like, mindset, really, with it, or approach that when you're kind of forced that way, it makes more sense to be like, oh, yeah, well, I already have to have this on here. I'm already on here playing Fortnite. Or in that, you know, we're talking 20 years ago almost now, like, yeah, I'm already on Steam. I might as well, you know, once the Steam store started really taking off, it's like, well, I'm on here all the time. Most of my games are on here. I'm just going to keep buying games on Steam. Like, that is just so commonplace now that I thought that if anybody had that opportunity, it was Epic. But granted, not been the case necessarily. I think they've gotten more backlash than anything. But hey, we got a lot of free games from them, at least. Yeah. I mean, I have probably like 150 free games on my Epic Games Store or Epic Games Launcher that, I mean, I've only ever probably booted up Fortnite. Outside of that, I think I booted up, because I don't have GTA 5 on Steam, but I got it for free like during the pandemic. I remember they put it out, they were like, yeah, our free game this week is GTA 5, just fucking buy it or get it for free on Epic Games Store. I was like, well, I'm obviously gonna get that. And I think I like ran it just to see like how it'd run with like my build at the time and whatnot, and after that I just uninstalled it because I was like, I'm not playing Grand Theft Auto again for like the 60th time. I'm just not doing it.
For me, that's where I played Tony Hawk.
Oh, Remastered. Yeah, that's another one that I just wish that would fucking come to Steam, because then it would be a no-brainer. Like,
yeah,
not that I'm that against like going on the Epic Game Store to be like, oh, I have to buy it on here. But like, part of me is also like, for that reason, it's just like everything is. I don't mind having maybe like two launchers or something like that. Like, it was very simpler in the days of like, cool, I have my Blizzard games and then I have my like Steam games, like Valve games or whatever you want to refer to them as, for the most part. And that was about it for the most part, because you could play pretty much anything else. Either you're going and buying a disc, or, you know, you're launching it through Steam, or you're buying something that requires you, that's a Blizzard product that requires you to, you know, use a key from the CD to, you know what I mean? Like, you're only getting a couple, I'm only having a few avenues, but like that I don't mind. But whenever it's a full fucking taskbar now at this point, it's like, it's frustrating a little bit. I like, and maybe that's my OCD talking. I like it a little more compact, but anywho, on my end, I guess, games I've been playing, for the most part, outside of the like carousel of just kind of multiplayer games that, you know, either we've been playing or, you know, by myself, like, you know, whether it's with our group playing some Fortnite here and there or whatever, doing some solo drops on my end. You know, I've been jumping back into Valorant a little bit and playing that. And obviously playing Valorant made me want to be like, well, I kind of want to play some CS and, you know, play a little bit of CS, but then bounce back to Valorant because, you know, I'm also kind of feeling an Overwatch itch a little bit, and I'm like, I at least like to have those abilities to change it up a little bit and yada yada. But I've been playing more Valorant, and I got into a fucking match today. I was like, you know what? I think I'm finally starting to knock the rust off a little bit. That I was like, I think I'm gonna jump into, and actually now that like, because the season just reset or the act or whatever, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So I was like, okay, I can get in and I'll get my rank for the season, like for comp. I'll at least start my process on that. First game I get in there and I get matched with like all diamonds. I'm like, holy shit, like what the fuck is going on? And then like a couple of the guys were like, not being toxic, but what are you usually ranked? And I was like, I don't know, I haven't played the game in 14 months. He was like, and the guy's like, well, I'm diamond, my two friends are diamond, one's plat. I'm like, okay. I was like, I'm definitely not that high. And they're like, you know, what the fuck is going on? Like, why? Not being dicks, but they're like, that sucks for like everyone involved. That it's a comp game that we're all stuck in now. Like, it's not fun. You know, obviously it's not fun for them because it's like, well, fuck, they're not playing with somebody in their skill level, you know. Or, and then same with me. It's just like, I don't mind playing with people better than me because that makes me better. At least I like to think that way. But at the same time,
yeah,
too,
but like if I'm getting silver, gold, right?
It's like if I'm getting my dick kicked in after not playing for, you know, over a year, like, yeah, I would like to at least start and get my footing a little bit more, like with a skill level that is, you know, where I am comparable at, then
more appropriate,
right? That I can work my way up, you know, through at that point or whatever, like. Yeah, so I was like, nobody was being a dick, which was nice, but I like even leaned into it. Like, I think I ended up going like, I think it was like 8-12 or something like that. And like when we were like first starting off, I like ended up getting like a clutch or something like that. And I like put in the chat, I was like, silver clutch goat, like don't at me or something like that. And
Jesus.
And like everyone on the opposite team was like, talk your shit, Viper, or talk your shit, Cypher, we love it, go. but yeah, in terms of that, like that's kind of been what I've been playing. And then I've been jumping in and out of a lot of stuff like single player that I'm like, I kind of want to, and another game, I guess, multiplayer wise, not truly single player, but like the new season of Destiny launched. I didn't pick up the pass yet and I haven't really played much of it, but it's pirate themed, space pirate themed, which I'm fucking all about. But I'm also like not in a Destiny mood right now that I'm like, Destiny's one of those games that almost like how you are with like CS or Valorant right now. Like when I get into it, I'm going to just like, that's the game I'm going to play for a while. Like I'm going to get in that mindset that like I'm rolling with this game and I'm going to put like, you know, another 50 to 70 hours into this, you know, over a couple weeks chunk of time playing this game mainly. And I'm just not at that point because it's one of those games that requires you to be, hey, this is like the one game you play for a while because there's so much to do in it. But I do want to eventually get into it and play. The season looks really, really dope with all the pirate theme stuff and whatnot. And you can get this like fucking like old timey, like flintlock, like rifle looking like gun. It's really fucking dope. That I would like to get, but you also have to just go straight through the season pass, so that'll be a hill to climb. But anywho, outside of that, yeah, that's about it. I've been dicking around in New Vegas again, waiting.
Adam Marsh has entered the chat.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Adam to just be like, oh, really? So, but there's also to get that game to run on modern hardware isn't the easiest, because the way that Bethesda has developed their games for so long with the physics engine is they tie it to frame rate. So anytime you go above 60 frames, it like the game speeds up. So it'll be like, oh, the audio file's still going, but whoever I'm talking to wrapped up their facial animation for talking like 10 seconds ago. So they're just standing there looking at you like so it's getting through those hurdles, fine, you know, downloading a couple different mods to limit frame rate, because you can't do that because the game's, you know, 12 years old at this point, like all kinds of shit. But I digress. Mike, actually, one thing I did want to add, and I promise we'll get into the meat of the show, a really good deal going on, and I haven't been good enough, or I haven't been doing this well enough that I've wanted to really since they launched, but kind of putting out their deals for the now current gen systems, but the Series X and the Series S, for people to get their hands on them. Anytime, every week, for the longest time, I'm like, I need to start being better at making sure if I see a deal out there, you see something, say something in a not very serious way. but, you know, seeing these deals, I want to make sure I get them out. And there's a really good one from Wario right now that's out there, that's still going on, that you could still get your hands on as of right now. But Best Buy has a deal right now going on. I'll link it in the description. You can get an Xbox Series S, which seems to be, the Series X's are still pretty hard to come by, but the Series S's are starting to kind of flow in regularly. But a Series S with a free digital game right now. So there's a list of games, obviously, that are eligible for it or whatnot. But that includes, like, looking at it, Elden Ring, Madden 23, Forza Horizon 5. Like, it's a very liberal list, to say the least. So I'll link that in the description if somebody wants to, you know, pick that up. Definitely, this is a good deal to jump on. I mean, this is one of those ones you don't kind of want to pass up that you can get. And you could even get, like, looking at it, you can get the digital deluxe edition of Elden Ring for free, like, not just the base version. So, like, by all means, this is a good deal to look at. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's on there, too. So I'll link that in there, and I want to try to be better about doing that when I see things like that, make sure I get them out there and whatnot. But anywho, Mike, let's get into the meat of the show. I wanted to at least start with, I wanted to talk about Blizzard and Activision and kind of where we're at right now with the Microsoft acquisition of said companies. But I did want to kind of wrap up first. We had Gamescom opening night live from Jeff Keighley. Not a ton of things that really came out that I want to say are like earth shattering necessarily, but I still do want to kind of just wrap it up because it was an event that was, you know, this kind of is the end cap really to the summer of games conferences and things like that. We still have a few coming up, like Disney and Marvel's games conference that's coming up. That'll be really interesting to see where they're working on and whatnot. And a couple of smaller ones, but for the most part, you know, this is kind of the end cap of the summer games conference schedule. So, and Jeff always does a really good job with his kind of, you know, trio of things that he puts out now, the Summer Games Fest opening night, the opening night live from Gamescom over in Germany, and then obviously the Game Awards at the end of the year. So kind of that nice end cap to the summer, but just wanted to kind of run through a handful of things just to kind of recap everything. Games that were announced or at least shown. The first game, world premiere, was a game called Everywhere, I'm sorry. And it's very kind of like Dreams, like for on PS or the PlayStation game Dreams, where it's very like creative, but also GTA inspired a little bit. Really interesting. Dune, the classic book, sci-fi book, is getting in movie, obviously now, but is getting a MMO survival game, which is really interesting. It's an open world game. Dune Awakening, didn't get much on that, just kind of a CG trailer. We got a new look at the Callisto Protocol, which is the game that I am probably most excited for outside of God of War Ragnarok, but if we're talking games that are on this platform that we kind of cover, the Callisto Protocol is probably my most anticipated outside of God of War at the end of the year here. That I talk about how much I am just a Dead Space fan, that I just, this looks like the natural evolution of that. And every time I see more gameplay of this and new looks at it, it just gets better and better. So I'm at this point, I'm like, listen, I'm good, man. Like, I don't need to see any more of this game. You sold me. You sold me really from like day one, outside of when you when they first announced the game and they were like, it's in the PUBG universe. And then like people were like, what the fuck? And then like they backed off of that like semi-recently. We're like, no, just kidding. We're kind of pulling away from that a little bit, but we're no longer in
We've
that.
We've never said that. Yeah. We said that.
Glenn Schofield, who, God bless his soul, a legend in the industry, was very much like, we're definitely going to acknowledge like the elephant in the room with that. We're no longer in the PUBG universe, but we're for sure going to have like Easter eggs and shit like that throughout the game that you're going to be like, oh, you're in on the joke as well. Like, okay, cool.
It's like, oh, like, hey, you guys all have phones, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And moving on, we're getting a pretty much like reboot, but almost like a sequel. It's kind of in between, almost like the God of War approach in 2018, where it's like, yeah, it's a sequel, but it's also a reboot kind of thing. Lords of the Fallen, which was a really early Xbox One generation Souls-like game that kind of came out and was meh, very meh. And you could like buy it on like Steam and shit for like $2 most of the time, but they're like rebooting it and it looks half decent. We got a announcement trailer for Moving Out, which is a game that I have it on Steam, is really fun, really fun party game. New look at Hogwarts Legacy, the Harry Potter game that's coming out, that looks pretty good. The announcement trailer for a new Tales from the Borderlands, which we knew was coming out, but this was the first chance we got to look at the newest entry in the Tales from the Borderlands franchise or sub-franchise, you want to say. But, you know, obviously no longer with Telltale. But it really, though, was now kind of just focused in on, it looks like it's being published by Gearbox, everything in-house. Like, it'll be interesting to kind of see where that goes. I'm not the biggest Borderlands fan. I've never really been the biggest Borderlands fan. I've tried my best to, but I love choice-based narrative point-and-click adventure games, so I will probably try this because I've heard nothing but good things about Tales from the Borderlands 1, so I'm interested in it. We got a release date for Sonic Frontiers, which, I'll be honest, Mike, you were much more of a Sonic guy growing up than I was.
Yes.
At what point do we just say that, like, and this is no disrespect to anybody who does like Sonic, now, like, that's fine. You like what you like, by all means. But at what point are we just gonna, like, acknowledge that just Sonic sucks? Like, we can move past Sonic. We can acknowledge how great his games were on the Genesis and, you know, maybe Sonic Adventures and things like that. But, like, ever since 3D, it just hasn't worked out for him 99% of the time. Like,
maybe when people are ready to admit that Halo just sucks.
Hey, I mean, I'm still trying to swallow that pill myself. I'll be honest. Same. I'll be honest. It's
not easy.
It ain't easy.
It ain't easy being greasy, let me tell you.
The fucking meme of SpongeBob where he has the crossed eyes reading the book and it's just like actually finding this scary, and then on the other side being like, ha ha ha, that's hilarious, man. Like, that is me, just like, But yeah, so. But yeah, we got a new look at Sonic Frontiers, a release date for that, that it's taking its Breath of the Wild approach to Sonic, which, more power to anybody who likes Sonic. I just don't think I could care any less about Sonic in 2022. And by all means, like I said, if you enjoy it, like what you like, by all means, I will fucking root for you in that regard. I just can't, unless it's a 2D Sonic game, that, unless you're putting out Sonic Mania 2, I'm just not going to be hyped about it. It just, I've been kind of like just shown astray for so long on bad Sonic games that I'm just like, I just can't do it. I can't get excited about it. It looks half decent, but I just won't get excited about it. Like, I won't. We got a new gameplay trailer for Goat Simulator 3, a new look at the rebooted Return to Monkey Island, which is kind of like a remake of the original, I believe, with the new art style. I'm actually really, really excited about that one because I've always wanted to get into Monkey Island, and I love LucasArts games, so the old school ones, like, so I'm definitely wanting to try that one out. And they had a little jab at Oblivion in it, the infamous horse armor DLC that they had back in the day, if anyone remembers that. If you do, congrats, you're old like us. That they actually took a stab at it and were like, if you pre-order in the trailer, they're like, if you pre-order the game, you'll get this horse armor. It doesn't do anything, it just sits in your inventory, but hey, you get some horse armor. Like, okay, cool. We got, here's one, Mike, that really, another Souls-like, but we had heard about this before, but this is the first time we're seeing it. Lies of P, okay? Everyone's calling it Life of Pi, which I understand. Your mind does the autocorrect, like you're, you know, typing something out and you just see it out of the corner of your eye. Oh, yeah, Lies of P. Like, I get it. Life of Pi. I'm right there with you. I've been saying it all week, just like you. But a Souls-like game based on the tale of Pinocchio. So Souls-likes are wild out there now. They're fucking wild in the streets. But it is coming to Game Pass day one, and it actually did look really good. It has like a steampunk aesthetic. Very much if you put, I guess, Pinocchio in a Dark Souls like fucking like gothic wet steampunk grotesque approach. Sure, I guess that's what you get. But from what I hear out of Gamescom, sounds relatively good, like hearing good things about it, and the graphical fidelity, if there's anything to take away from that, looks very impressive for what is to believe, not just, you know, hey, here's your slice of a game that we're making for demo purposes only, and it's going to be really high fidelity, but when you get the full game, to make that obviously work, we have to, you know, peel back the fidelity a little bit. It doesn't seem that way, so more power to them. We got another trailer for Homeworld 3. It's one of those things that, once again, I don't understand. Homeworld doesn't seem to be really doing anything for anybody anymore, and because it's a super early PC, like, sci-fi strategy game that I rarely, like, I knew what it was, but not, like, fully. I've heard of it kind of thing, but just like last year at the Gearbox conference that they had at E3, they showed, because they're publishing it, they had like 6 trailers for it that I just, as soon as I saw this shit pop up again, I'm like, no offense to anybody working on this, but like, fucking A, like, Gearbox, ease off it. I get it. Homeworld fucking 3 is coming out. You really got to try to sell this to people because it's a fucking niche product. I get it, but holy shit. And anyways, kind of wrapping it up though, we did get, Mike, what I kind of want to actually ask you about, we're getting Ottomans and Malians to Age of Empires 4. Where do you stand with Age of Empires 4 right now? Game that I haven't really, I figured would be something you would be talking about regularly, kind of playing regularly, because you were really excited for it, obviously. But where are you kind of at with that game right now?
It's kind of like Diablo 3 and all the new Halo games. The older games are better, so I don't really pay attention to it at all. I haven't paid attention to Age of Empires 4 since the day it released, basically.
You got in it and you were like, oh no.
Yeah, it just wasn't what I was looking for, and that's okay. There's plenty of people out there that I'm sure really enjoy it. I'm just not one of those people.
Right. And listen, I'm right there with you to an extent on different games, obviously, but like, to that mindset at times. Listen, I'll be an old man yelling in a cloud like Grandpa Simpson forever. Like, I'm cool with that. I accept that. I embrace it at this point. Like, we're gaming boomers, and that's okay. You know, I'm okay with that.
We're allowed to be gaming boomers.
Yeah, I'll yell at a damn cloud for the rest of my life if I want to, while I sit here and play Oblivion for the 80th time. Got a new look at Gotham Knights, which is coming out in October on the 21st. And then kind of wrapping it up, one on the wild side, weird side, I mean. Hideo Kojima was there, naturally, because him and Jeff Keighley are just best friends, obviously. And while it looked like he was going to give Jeff a big, like, hey, Jeff, here's your scoop. Here's, you know, I'm going to announce my next game or give you a first look at my next game at this event that you do. But really, he was just announcing that he's doing a podcast. So look out for Kojima's podcast, I guess. Anywho, though, and then kind of wrapping it up, the Outlast Trials, which is a new entry, obviously, in the Outlast series that I'm a big fan of. There's going to be a closed beta coming for that later this year, so keep an eye out for that. I'm really interested to just see what that game is going to be, because it seems like it might have multiplayer elements to it that I'm actually really interested in. And we finally got a hard confirmation that, yes, Dead Island 2 is actually still in development, and it's coming February 3rd, 2023. I mean, this game was announced originally, I want to actually, I got to look that up. The original Dead Island 2 trailer. Trailer 1, here we go. E3 2014, it was announced. E3 2014, Dead Island 2 was announced and was still in development. Still in development, was rebooted, I'm being hyperbolic with this, but very much was rebooted about six times. And is finally coming out almost 9 years later. So, you know, hey, more power to you at this point. At this point, just get the game out. And I think most are just probably going to be like, okay, yeah, this is half decent. It's another Dead Island game. Cool. And it's really high fidelity. That's great. Cool. Dead Island wasn't, in my opinion, wasn't earth shattering to begin with. So cool. More power to you. Excited to see what happens. Anything stick out to you, Mike, that I kind of ran through that you're at least thinking you might check out or interested in semi, at least?
Not really.
You're always so, like, to the point. I love it.
I mean, I'm just not going to... I've just never been someone who's just, like, going to beat around the bush.
No,
I'm just going to keep it a buck.
Right.
And there's just not much there. Like, again, I'm not, like, I don't hold it against games that really can't help it, to be honest. But like, I blame Tales of the Borderland and all the other bullshit for basically preventing Wolf Among Us 2 from coming out. And yeah, so I've never even given like, we've tried Batman a little bit. It's just not my jam. So that's okay to just move along. But like, yeah, nothing else that you really brought up really even sparks any interest in me. It's just none of really what was said even is that, yeah, it's just not that appealing to me.
Well,
and again, it's okay because other people are allowed to be interested in stuff that I'm not allowed to be in or that I'm not interested in. But, you know, it is what it is. It's just the nature of it.
No, and to be fair, I was going to say realistically out of all that I went through, there were a few things that I'm like, okay, yeah, that's coming to, like, to be honest, just for the meme of it, even if it is a good game, like more power to you. I just have no true interest in a Pinocchio Souls-like, but it's on Game Pass, so I may just install it for the meme and like try it out and be like, okay, there's my 5 minutes with it. And that's exactly what Game Pass is great for, because I would not probably check unless that game's getting tens across the board or something like that, or very high scores, or it is a rival somehow to the quality of From Software, then I'm probably not going out of my way to try it. But hey, Game Pass, it's coming to Game Pass day one. Cool. I'll give it a shot. It's built into my $15 or whatever I pay a month to play it. Cool. Like, but outside of that, like,
Because you got to think, like, Halo Infinite got an 87 on Metacritic. So
yeah,
and that game's fucking horrible. So you can't even really take what a lot of these websites and people who rate games say, like, seriously, because you just gotta always ground yourself with that.
Right. And that's the thing too, like, I think Metacritic especially, it's really good if you want to, like, get a very, very, very broad, like, face value, like, okay, what does the overall consensus on this game kind of look like? Like, just very much like first glance, from the cuff kind of, like, or for a movie or whatever. Movies are really hard to, like, all movies on Metacritic are, like, at the most are, like, a 70. Like, it's, movies are really, I don't know if it's the algorithm or, you know, what's based on there. Like, even, like, stellar movies, like, you know, like, Oscar-worthy movies are, like, trashed on there. They don't get, like, anything higher than an 80. It's weird. But for games, at least, it's really good to get like an outline or like this overall, like, hey, here's this big picture on looking like, okay, for example, Halo Infinite comes out. Basically, Halo Infinite, very much two games at this point, because it was released pretty much as two games, for reasons that we don't necessarily need to get into yet again, because I'm probably there we go. We brought Halo Infinite up again. But that very much so, like, yes, the single player obviously boosted up a lot of the scores regarding, you know, issues with multiplayer and things like that, that like, it's hard to look at. Yes, you see an 80 something. Yeah, it's generally like, okay, the game functionally works, quote unquote. The game's in a state that is playable for the average consumer, yada, yada. Like, okay, sure, that makes sense. But people also have to remember, like, it's hard to take just those scores at face value, because while, yeah, IGN may have gave Halo Infinite a 9, realistically, that's, because I'm pretty sure Ryan McCaffrey reviewed it, that's technically, Ryan McCaffrey gave that a 9. IGN yeah. didn't give that a 9. One writer at IGN gave that a 9, or, you know, an 8 at GameSpot or whatever. I don't know what GameSpot gave. But point being, though, I think the best way, they're good in a sense of, like, to get an overall spectrum of what the kind of general consensus is on the game. But realistically, like, if you want to figure out what is going on with a game and where a game stands and whatnot, like, find voices that are similar to your tastes in a way. Not echo chambers by any means, but more so like, hey, this reviewer I know, I like the way they write and, you know, their approach to writing, and I think my mindset is similar to how I critique games or play games, similar to them. So in terms of like, not necessarily like I'm only going to base my opinion on what they say, but if I'm looking at reviews, which are very much so marketing tools to get you to buy the game and whatnot, like that's why early copies get sent out, to be able to build good press around it, knock on wood, hopefully, but to get these games out to help push sales and whatnot. But if I'm looking at a game that, you know, hey, God of War comes out, and I know that my opinion on, you know, the first God of War in 2018 from the rebooted series, my opinions on that game and how the gameplay elements were in the narrative approach and, you know, from a cinematic approach, even like my approach to viewing that game aligned very much with Greg Miller from Kinda Funny. I'm probably going to want to get Greg's opinion on that when the new one comes out, because he approached looking at that game the same way I did. That game had similar impacts on him, and he played the game in a similar fashion I did. So if I'm looking at buying that game and I want to know if it's a game I'm going to like, I'm going to probably listen to him, or not listen to him, but I'm probably going to take in his input. And just with everything too, one source just shouldn't be your only thing. That's everything in life, like mainstream media or whatever. Like, people are so like one-sided with stuff. Like, take stuff in from everywhere and then make like educated opinions on things. Like, that's probably my biggest pet peeve anymore in 2022, is just like people being like, well, Fox News said this, but CNN said this, and I only listen to CNN, so they're right, or you know, vice versa. I mean, Fox News personally can get fucked, but you get what I'm saying, that it's just like, cool, I'm gonna take in like six of these and see what they're all saying, and NPR as well, and see what they're saying, and then I'm gonna make my opinion. Like, it's the same thing with games, the same thing with everything. I don't know, I went on a big tangent. Anywho, Mike, I'm the same way. There wasn't really anything on that list that like stuck out to me that I was like, God damn it, I am ready to get blah 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 because I saw it at the Gamescom special. And I think it's good, because even though there wasn't anything on there, I think this is an overall okay, like even good conference, for the sole fact of it did its purpose of Gamescom being, you know, hey, it's a Tuesday, it's kicking off on a Tuesday night over in Germany. You know, granted, Gamescom's the biggest gaming conference in the world, but from an impact in terms of like media impact and stuff like that, especially stateside, where you're getting a lot of media presence on games, and games media is basically, you know, centralized in the US, we're not getting a lot of that. So it's like, you're obviously, our target demographic really isn't going to be truly getting a lot of that info, or, you know, in general. So this is the time to at least get out there. Okay, sure, PlayStation doesn't want to bring us God of War Ragnarok, or Kojima probably doesn't want to reveal his next game or what it is he's working on with Xbox in their partnership, like, probably here because he wants to get it on the biggest platform possible or whatever. You know, same with Xbox doesn't want to probably bring the release date for Starfield or Redfall there because they probably either want to do it on their own platform or get it in the biggest audience possible. And that's not with Gamescom from a, you know, an outreach to at least stateside. So, you know, that's where it's a good idea to get a lot of these smaller projects or, you know, these AAA projects that have already been revealed and, you know, we're getting kind of a follow-up or a deep dive or something like that that would normally just be kind of a YouTube video behind the scenes release or something like that. But it's good to get these, especially to like AA and even independent games out there that probably wouldn't have the ability to get front and center anywhere else. So in that regard, I think it did its, you know, I think it did a decent job at doing that, but I think it was as expected. I wasn't going in expecting, hey, there's probably going to be something for me at this conference, because there wasn't, and that's okay. There, but I probably guarantee there is somebody, probably guarantee, I guarantee there is something on there for somebody out there, and that's cool. And if that's what it is, cool, that's what it is. Anywho, Mike, let's move on and kind of just recap, since we're already kind of running long in the tooth a little bit on the show. I kind of want to give a little update on where we are with the Xbox and Activision Blizzard acquisition. Like I said, it's slowly but surely starting to kind of get through, and Phil Spencer has an update. Since it is a little bit slower of a news week, I kind of wanted to wrap up the show with that to kind of get us all on the same page and kind of, you know, pick at that a little bit. So good write-up by Ryan Leston over at IGN. As always, link in the description. Go through, check that out. Give Ryan a click and everything. How close is Xbox to acquiring Activision Blizzard? At the moment, we have no idea, but Xbox boss Phil Spencer is feeling, quote, good about how far they've come with the process. During an interview with Bloomberg, the Microsoft CEO of gaming gave an update of sorts on the upcoming deal, which sees Microsoft own the beleaguered games company. Quote, I feel good about the process or progress that we're making, but I go into the process supportive of people who maybe aren't as close to the gaming industry, asking good hard questions about, quote, like, what is our intent? What does this mean? He said, if you play it out over 5 years, is this constricting a market? Is it growing a market? Of course, the deal has been under widespread scrutiny since Microsoft announced it would be purchasing Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion back in January. The deal has already been investigated for potential insider trading, and the UK has since begun probing the acquisition to ensure the deal is good for consumers. Quote, I've never done a $70 billion deal, so I don't know what my confidence means, adds Spencer. I will say the discussions we've been having seem positive. If the deal does go through, it will see Microsoft own one of the biggest gaming studios in the world, but don't worry, the company assures consumers that console exclusives are, quote, something we're just going to see less and less of. Quote, maybe you happen in your household to buy an Xbox and I buy a PlayStation and our kids want to play together and they can't because we bought the wrong piece of plastic to plug into our televisions, he said. We really love to be able to bring more players in, reducing friction, making people feel safe, secure where they're when they're playing, allowing them to find their friends, play with their friends, regardless of what device. I think in the long run, that is good for the industry. And maybe in the short run, there are some people in some companies that don't love it. But I think as we go over or get over the hump and see where the industry can continue to grow, it proves out to be the best. It's not the first time Spencer has hinted that console exclusivity is a thing of the past, but more importantly, what's Microsoft going to do about Activision Blizzard's troubled legacy of sexual misconduct and harassment allegations? Blizzard has already agreed to clean up its act and public image before the deal was made, and Spencer still seems to take the company on its word. Quote, I believe they're committed to that, said Spencer. When I look at the work that they're doing now, there's always more that can be done. But I believe from the studio leaders there that I know very well, some of them former Xbox members, that they're committed to this journey. And I applaud that regardless of the deal. Whether or not Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard will make a positive difference to the company remains to be seen. But it looks as though the deal is progressing through regardless. So, Mike, I guess really since this is really the first time we've kind of brought up this deal in terms of like looking at it from since it was announced, obviously, but like kind of looking at it from a macroscopic approach, it's been, you know, 8 months, 9 months almost since we kind of heard this deal. Hey, this is going to be happening. Has the consensus, I guess, really changed on whether this deal actually isn't going to go through? Like, to me, this has always been, yes, naturally, we're going to go through all of the processes of, you know, we're going to look at insider trading, like they said. We're going to look at, hey, is this potentially a monopoly? How is this going to look? And obviously, you know, it's going to be viewed at from 10 different lenses before it actually is approved and pushed through. But I always kind of default to the message of, well, Disney bought Fox. Like, Disney owns Fox. Anything is possible. Like, anybody can own anything at this point. And you look at really what Disney owns now in terms of, like, and Disney, granted, one company owning multiple subsidiaries, probably at their lowest points, you know, purchasing them at the lower points and now building them back up. That's just natural good business, personally, the way I look at it. Marvel, who wasn't the juggernaut that they were in, you know, 2008 or 9, I believe, when they acquired, Disney acquired them. Now, obviously, we're able to invest in that and make it into the juggernaut that it is. Same with Star Wars. Star Wars was, granted, one of the most popular IP still at the time, but very much so in 2012 or whatever that was, that the deal was struck to buy the rights from George Lucas. Like, in 2012, Star Wars was not where it was at. Even now, like, and granted, Star Wars still obviously a little bit rocky, but in a much better light than it was in 2012. Personally, I think so, as a Star Wars fan. But point being, though, anything is possible. So, like, with these deals, to me, though, Mike, like, I guess I'm looking for your opinion. At what point do we kind of just, like, expect that this is just going to go through? Like, because to me, it just seems like, yeah, at this point, unless, like, barring anything horrendous, I think it's going to be approved.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe that it's going to go a different direction, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess without something like a huge bomb going off, I'm probably still going to lean in that direction that this is going to go through. A lot to be said about things still being reviewed, but at the end of the day, like you said, there have been some huge mergers, acquisitions in the past that have gone through. I don't know how this one would be, you know, too big to go through, or how something would pop up that would prevent it from going through. Unless, again, like I said, there's some huge, bit of information that comes out of this investigation, if you will.
And there's been some fucked up shit from Blizzard and Activision. Like,
yeah,
it's not out of the realm. I'm not saying it's not out of the realm of possibility. They've done some fucked up shit and should be, like, feet to the fire heading, like, going through this whole process. But, like,
I'm just not quite sure, like, what they could have done that would save them from getting purchased, because I can't think of a better way. I mean, I don't know. I guess
it was hands down the smartest thing for them to do was to be like, we need to be like, granted, I'm sure there are people who were in there who were like, no, we can rebuild our image and yada, yada.
Yeah.
But like, the smartest thing for them was to be purchased.
Yeah. Period. And I guess maybe the only thing I could see happening is I could see somehow an evaluation is done and their worth is lowered to the point where Blizzard doesn't want to go through with it because they don't think they're going to be compensated enough. Mm-hmm. And that's about the only way I could see this really getting ixnayed, is like, basically someone evaluates it and says like, no, like, Blizzard's only worth this much. This is all the more you should pay for him. And then Microsoft could still offer them the money or whatever, or not, and then that's where you would run into problems. But I just don't think there's any way that this doesn't go through. And it does suck because, you know, the people that were the most heinous offenders of the
inhumane actions are going to be the ones, some of the ones that get paid the most from the deal. But I mean, it's just the way it is, it's going to wind up going through, and that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Right. And I think that's where it's really like, it's just shocking to me that even though, like, granted, we look at the Bethesda deal, and that's really, I mean, Bethesda was, I think, a $7 billion acquisition. Mm-hmm. $7.5 billion acquisition by Microsoft. So we're talking about almost 10 times larger, you know, the size of that. And granted, there's a lot more subsidiaries, at least at a higher market cap, I would think, in Activision. Not to mention the IP they have alone. I mean, Call of Duty, whether like it or, you know, love it or hate it kind of thing, it is one of the most successful and, you know, tentpole IPs in entertainment, period. Like, Call of Duty is synonymous with video games, period. Like, to the point where, like, it's just, it's up there with Mario. It's up there with, you know, just the phrase of like, oh, you know, Johnny's playing his Call of Duty or whatever on his video game system or whatever. Like, it's the Kleenex, you know, tissue debate kind of thing, where you're just talking about, like, you relate this brand to this product, like Mario with video games. Like, Call of Duty's like that too. So there obviously becomes a hefty price tag with that. But when I look at something like this, like, it just, to me, like, I just don't see how this, I just don't see how this couldn't go through. We've seen so many bigger, and even if we're not talking dollar amounts, bigger, like, to me, this is still, you know, peanuts comparative to, like I said, Fox being purchased by Disney. Like, that is earth-shattering in terms of just widespread entertainment, where, granted, obviously, I'm very much in the enthusiast category of somebody with video games. Like, I am the 1%, Mike and I are the 1% of video games, when we're talking people who are fans of video games, who listen to podcasts and play games that are more niche, and, like, we're hardcore into video games, that, yes, to me, this is, like, this is earth-shattering. Like, when I saw that was happening, it was like, I just didn't believe it. I thought it was like, oh, I'm reading one of those, like, troll Twitter accounts that they change one letter in the account name, and, like, it ends up getting blown up, you know, for a viral tweet saying one thing, but then people just get played. I thought it was one of those even at first. I'm like, there's no way, you know. But the fact that Microsoft, who have the equity to do something like this, have the cash on hand that they can do something like this, they got the Scrooge McDuck money, like we always talk about, like, to me, this is a no-brainer that both sides seem very, very adamant that they want this to happen. I just, like I said, barring, like, we've kind of both said, Mike, like, barring anything drastic, I just can't see, I'm shocked that we haven't gotten more, like, and granted, it's probably just because of the dollar amount and it being so big. I'm just shocked we haven't gotten more solidified on, okay, it's ready to go, you know, by the end of Q4, it's going to be good to go. Like, the deal's going to be done, the ink will be dry by the end of Q4 of 2022. Like, I'm very surprised we're not at that point where it's like, yeah, it's a done deal already. Like, or we have the plan in place for it to be a done deal by X date. We're working out things, but we expect it to be done no later than this date. We haven't had that yet, which, sure, some people I can see, you know, from a business perspective probably think, oh, that could be concerning at times, but I just see this being such a win overall for so many people in the video game space, not only Microsoft, not only Blizzard, but the consumer as well. Like, Joe Blow consumer isn't looking at this and being like, if you ask me, or Joe Blow video game fan isn't looking at this and being like, man, this is bad, I'm going to be pissed about this. Like, I don't see that fervor with this. Like, this just seems like, if only, or like, for where Blizzard was at, for where Activision was at, for the burnout that a lot of people are starting to feel with Call of Duty, and the, you know, quality of those games coming down, especially with the single player aspect of them, you know, comparative to a lot of the monetization issues that Blizzard was kind of facing in terms of how they were approaching, you know, in-game monetization with their players and, you know, the loot box issues and things like that with Overwatch. Like you said, Mike, the acquisition for them was, especially on the Blizzard end, is a no-brainer. But, like, across the board, this just seems like a win. Like, that there are too many people who are in favor of this that are ready to see this deal happen and ready to see this deal close that I just am shocked we're still, to a degree, I'm just very surprised that we haven't heard anything of, like, yep, we're ready to get this deal done by the end of, you know, Q3 or Q4 or whatever. It just very surprising to me. But anywho, that's kind of where we're at with it. It's like I said, slow news week. I kind of wanted to just check in with it and see where we're at, because we finally got some news on it. I just figured that, like I said, I'm just shocked we haven't gotten, like, yep, we're ready to go. We're, you know, by the end of this year, it's going to be done kind of thing. And I guess it's just because it's that big of a dollar amount that, you know, we're hesitant on. So, but at least one of the check-ins, because we finally got something from it. Phil finally talked about it. So I figured we at least get there and check in on it. But anywho, I think that's going to do it for episode this week. So Mike, where can people find you on the internet? Talk about everything we talked about today. All that we've been playing, Diablo, of course, on your end, but also talking about Gamescom and when this deal eventually with Activision Blizzard's going to finally get through and where we're even at with Activision Blizzard. Where can people talk to you and find you on the internet to talk about all the nerdy stuff we talked about?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at TOYSXLDIER. That's Toy Soldier, but the second O is an X. Or you can find me on Twitch at MP_ToySoldier.
Nice. And as always, I'm your host, Travis White, a.k.a. Travless, on most internet platforms, including at Travless_ on Twitter. That's TRAVLESS_. You can also find me streaming time to time on Twitch.tv/Travless_, same as Twitter. And if you want to play some video games with me, you can do so on Xbox Live, really any platform at this point, at just regular old Travless. That's TRAVLESS. And this, ladies and gentlemen, has been your newest episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course, PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So be sure to subscribe to us, rate us, review us, all that jazz wherever you get a podcast at, and follow us on Twitter at GPGCPodcast. Stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games like, and our dope giveaways. With that being said, Mike, that's going to do it for our episode this week. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening, sharing, and being a part of our growing community. Game on, wash your hands, listen to the doctors, Black Lives Matter, and we will see you next week.